From NPR News in Washington, I'm Shay Stevens. President Obama applauded the U.S. Senate yesterday for confirming Judge Sonia Sotomayor to sit on the U.S. Supreme Court. NPR's Don Gagne reports.
Judge Sotomayor will become the 111th U.S. Supreme Court justice, but the first Hispanic to serve on the high court. Speaking at the White House shortly after the vote, President Obama said she represents the core American ideals of justice, equality, and opportunity.
There are ideals she's fought for throughout her career, and the ideals the Senate has upheld today in breaking yet another barrier and moving us yet another step closer to a more perfect union.
Judge Sotomayor will officially become Justice Sotomayor at her swearing-in at the Supreme Court Saturday morning. Don Gagne, NPR News, the White House.
Senate has passed legislation to extend cash for clunkers. The bill adds $2 billion to the program that offers rebates for trading in qualified older vehicles for ones that get better gas mileage. Democrat Carl Levin of Michigan says the American people want it.
Consumers and the American people really like this program. They could see this actually work.
The initial $1 billion set aside for cash for clunkers was nearly gone in less than 2 weeks. The Obama administration has announced plans to reform the way the government manages and houses immigrant detainees. NPR's Frank Langfitt has more.
The government contracts with more than 350 private prisons and local jails to house hundreds of thousands of immigrants annually. In the future, the federal government says it will provide much more direct oversight in how those facilities do their job. For instance, the government will send its own managers to the 23 largest detention centers. John Morton, Assistant Secretary with U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, said the government will also review the entire detention system, focusing on issues ranging from health care to detainee grievances. The announcement follows complaints of mistreatment at some detention facilities. For instance, children housed at one Texas center said guards threatened to separate them from their families. Now, the government said that facility will no longer house families. Frank Langfitt, NPR News, Washington.
The nation's largest provider of home mortgage funding, Fannie Mae, is seeking an almost $11 billion government bailout. The company has reported a second quarter net loss of $14.8 billion. That's on top of the $23 billion loss in the previous quarter. Fannie Mae says its long-term prospects are uncertain, citing rising unemployment coupled with the weak housing market. Fannie Mae says nearly 4% of the loans that it owns or guarantees were delinquent as of June 30th. In Tokyo, the Nikkei average of 225 selected issues is up 0.2%. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow Industrials fell 24 points. This is NPR News. The foreign minister of Mexico is refuting U.S. claims of human rights abuses by Mexico's army in the war against the drug cartels. James Bleer says this report from Mexico City.
Chairman of the U.S. Senate's Appropriations Subcommittee, Patrick Leahy, is delaying allocating Mexico $100 million as an installment of the $1.4 billion Merida Agreement established to fight the scourge of Mexico's powerful drug cartels. He's citing human rights abuses by the Mexican military, who were spearheading the war against the cartels. Mexican Foreign Minister Patricia Espinosa is refuting this, claiming that human rights abuses and abuses of authority by soldiers constitute isolated cases. This row couldn't have come at a worse time. President Obama's visiting Mexico's second city, Guadalajara, this weekend for the North American Leaders Summit. For NPR News, I'm James Blears in Mexico City.
U.S. and Pakistan intelligence officials are investigating reports that Pakistan Taliban leader Baitullah Masood may have been killed in a missile strike 2 days ago. A Pakistani official says the reports are based on intercepts of phone and other communications. Masood's wife was among three people killed in the attack in South Waziristan. Rwanda and the Democratic Republic of Congo have announced an agreement to produce electricity for both nations. The leaders of the two countries have agreed to plan further joint economic ventures. They also want to revive the Rwanda-DRC Joint Permanent Commission that was suspended in 1988. The pair met for hours yesterday and plan to meet again in the fall. It is the latest sign of thawing relations between the two countries following a 1998 to 2003 war. I'm Shay Stevens, NPR News from Washington.